buddy. We got some kind of sort of football to talk about on today's episode of the Chicago Football Podcast, because the Bears let me watch practice and about 30 to 40 other media members break down a little bit of what I'm allowed to tell you I saw. And then we got two interviews for you on today's show. And what you guys know from now that have been listening, we like to get to know some of these players. And we got Omar Bolden, the new Bears safety and return man, and undrafted rookie tight end Ben Brownaker, who went to Harvard. So we'll play those interviews for you, talk about their specific position battles, and a little bit more about the Bears. Remember, you can follow all of our stuff on Twitter at Bears_Insider. I am at K Fishbane. My executive producer, Dan Mott, is here at Mott's Thoughts. And when Dan comes out to Bears practice, he posts some cool pictures there from all of his shoots. And associate producer, John Solly, at J Solly on Twitter, is here. ProFootballWeekly.com/Bears. John, my notebook has much less writing in it after the OTA on Wednesday than the OTA I attended 2 years ago and the OTA I attended 3 years ago.
Why is that, Kevin?
There's two reasons for it. The one is there's only so much I can report and say, and I'm going to be I'm going to respect the Bears media policy.
Much more than you can report if you were, say, a Buffalo Bills reporter.
Correct. A little bit more than that. I think the media folks know how we feel about some of the parts of the policy, and we've made that known. And I'll respect the policy when on the air and in my writing. The other thing, too, is you do this long enough and you realize, do I really want to spend a ton of time writing about guys when 37 of them are going to be cut, more of them, more than 37 in the next couple months? And that's just, you know, Bears fans, and what makes this job so fun is you guys want to know everything. You want to know about rostered player number 88 making a great catch, and that's great. And if I see something worthy, I will report it, I will tweet it, I will what have you. I've kind of taken things with a grain of salt. I have more perspective now on what happens in a May 25th OTA is not going to mean a ton when it comes to September 11th against the Texans in Houston. I kind of wish the coaching staff thought that way. Maybe we'd be allowed to tweet a little bit more because there is no correlation. They think there's a correlation. I'll tell you a couple highlights, John. This is what I think
I'm excited for this.
What I think I'm allowed to say. John Timu intercepted a pass.
Not allowed to say who he intercepted, though.
I don't know. I'm going to tell you that he intercepted a pass by the backup quarterback.
Okay.
Over the middle of the field. And it was interesting to see Timu very vocal on the field, very active. He's a guy that they really liked the way he played the last few weeks. I think he has the upper hand right now to be the top reserve to Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. Bryce Callahan made a very impressive diving interception of the starting quarterback. Keep an eye on him. The Bears didn't draft a corner that is a prototypical inside slot guy. And he showed a lot of promise last year, even though he's the undrafted rookie out of Rice. And that's going to be – I imagine it's going to be his job to lose. So that was, you know, nice to see that. Josh Bellamy, Kevin White, and Eddie Royal, very active at receiver. Lots of targets, lots of catches. Really fun watching Kevin White.
I follow Nate Atkins in addition to yourself, Kevin, but at Nate Atkins CF. He was really complimentary of Kevin White and how he looked and just sort of the physical gifts that you can see out there from Kevin White.
Typically, when I'm shooting these players on the field.
What you're allowed to shoot.
Yeah, what we're allowed exactly. For those of you guys that don't know, we're given a very small window, the media is, to capture our B-roll footage. But typically when I frame up these guys, you can kind of anticipate where these guys are going to go in the camera and keep them centered in the frame. And what was fascinating was I couldn't barely keep up with Kevin White. And I was just like, man, this guy is awesome. And I mean, given the fact that he had the surgery and he came back and was like that much fun to watch, is exciting. At least for me as a Kevin White fan and a Kevin White hopeful of how good he might do this season.
And he's one of those, he's a size speed guy. So he's going to look awesome in shorts. And he's big enough where in pads he's going to be. Because there are guys out there who, you know, Kieran Duncan, for example, the rookie tryout guy who's got a 4.3, sub 4.3 40. This is really where he's going to shine too. But, you know, we'll learn more about him when the pads come on. Kevin White, you can be confident when the pads come on, he's going to look just as good.
I think that sound you heard after Dan's comments are hundreds of Bears fans who listen to this podcast just sort of pumping their fist.
Hundreds and thousands. So that those were some of my observations from the OTA. Quick plug, I talked to Jarrell Freeman, not for the podcast. It was a group interview. And what I really wanted to ask him about was Jarrell Freeman's first ever NFL game was at Soldier Field against the Bears. He was playing for the Colts, and he picked off Jay Cutler and returned it for a touchdown, which is a 4-yard pick six. And he said that Jay was actually the first one to text him when he got signed. Did not mention the pick six. I asked Jarrell if he talked about it with Jay. He said he hasn't brought it up. He said he's going to hold that in his back pocket, might bring it up sometime. But it's kind of a funny way, the cycle of the NFL, how these things kind of – connections come together. So you can check out that story, profootballweekly.com/Bears. Learn a little bit more about Jarrell Freeman. Hub wrote about Danny Trevathan and Freeman. And not only are these guys such upgrades at the position, but they're so – they come from these winning cultures, and they have winning pedigrees from their NFL game. Trevathan was quick to remind us, he did not come from a winning program in college. He played for Kentucky, and Jarrell Freeman played.
They don't win a lot of games.
And I don't know about Mary Harden Baylor, how good they were when Jarrell Freeman played for them. So you could check out that story as well. I also have a story up on Kyle Long. But let's jump right to it. First interview is with Omar Bolden, who played for the Broncos his first 4 years in his career. This guy was a college cornerback and has played safety in the NFL and special teams. He returned a punt for a touchdown against Indianapolis last year. He actually missed the Super Bowl. We talk about that because of an injury, kind of an injury plague season. But this is a very he admits he's a very social guy. He's very active on Twitter. He was one of the first ones I wanted to talk to when we got the whole team together. So enjoy this interview with Omar Bolden.
So I'll bring you back to March a little bit. What drew you to Chicago throughout the free agent search?
I just felt comfortable here with the coaching staff. A lot of familiar faces here. And just seemed like a good situation for me.
What's been your early impressions of Vic Fangio?
Well, he's different, you know. He's smart, though. He's smart, man. He's got a good defense, good scheme. It's very similar to what I've been used to been running. Just terminology is a little bit different.
Do you worry about him out here in a sweatshirt?
Nah, you know, I never even thought about it because usually it hasn't been that hot today and yesterday. Pretty warm. But for the most part, man, it's been pretty cool. So
now you're going to think about it next time you see him out there.
I am, though, now that you say that, yeah.
And then Ed Donatell, obviously he's worked with a lot of pretty good defensive backs. What's it been like kind of working with him, some of his coaching style?
Oh, it's been new, too. You know, it's been new, too. Everything's been new to me so far. You know, I got to get adjusted to certain coaches, different styles of coaching. You know, everybody coaches differently. So, but it's good. It's good. You know, I'm eager to learn, and I'm happy to be here.
How would you describe your role this early on?
I guess that's a little unclear right now, you know. What I do know is, you know, I'm very versatile, and, you know, I can play many positions. I can do a lot of good things. So, you know, it's all about how the coaches decide to use me, you know. That would be completely up to them.
What is a better feeling, pick six or returning a kick for a touchdown?
Ooh, probably pick six.
Yeah.
Probably pick six, yeah. And for me, it would be a pick six because I don't have one yet. So.
You had one in college, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I had a few in college, yeah.
Anyone that stands out?
Probably when I played one against SC in the Coliseum because I'm from Southern California. So, yeah.
So I know positive living is something that it's a big part of you. Where did that, how did that all kind of come to be, and how much does it really impact your everyday life?
It came about in college. Shortly after I tore my ACL my senior year, and it was just a hard time, tough time for me. I had chose to stay in school as opposed to leave early. And, you know, it was just a lot of things going through my head, and I needed something to help me to stay positive. And, you know, it just came about like that. You know, it just came up organically, you know. And it was kind of around the time when Twitter started to get pretty popular, and hashtags became more popular as time went on. And, you know, I just started hashtagging it. And I eventually made a band, and, you know, it just continued to grow from there. You know, like I didn't think it would be what it is now. But it's a lifestyle for me. It's something that I stick with daily. you know, and I just try to live by it, continue to stay positive through any situation, you know, and keep it moving.
Did you think a lot about that when you got hurt at the end of and during the playoffs last year?
Yeah, of course. You know, that was tough too, you know, because I had a feeling we were going to make a nice run, you know, so and I have been battling injuries all year. That last year was as most have been injured, you know, as far as like different injuries, you know. First I had plantar fasciitis, then I had a hamstring, and then my PCL. So it was just a tough year for me all around. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, the team was able to stick together and we were able to do something special. So, you know, I'm happy to have been part of that.
So did you not have to have a curfew when you were out there Super Bowl week?
Yeah, my situation was a little bit different. I mean, because I was on IR. I mean, that was the last game of the season. So, yeah, man, I was able to do a lot of things that I wasn't normally able to do. You know,
what kind of stuff did you get to do out there?
I actually did some things with the news station where we traveled around and saw different things. I did a couple different pieces. I think we did 4 different pieces just on San Francisco, the city in general. And, you know, and I got to explore the city. You know, it was cool. It was a great experience.
You're a Southern Cal guy, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah. Lakers?
Yeah. Lakers, Clippers, man, whatever, man. Yeah, so I'm SoCal to the heart.
Are you a huge Kobe fan?
I'm a fan of the player.
Okay.
I'm a fan of the player for sure, man. I respect his grind and I respect his work and how he works, man, and how he approaches the game. There's none other like him, you know.
Yeah.
He's second to none.
What do you have a favorite Foxy-ism, like something that Fox says, like one of his like goofy quotes or anything? You played for him for a few years, obviously.
Yeah. Favorite quote.
Or it could even be a story or anything about Fox.
Probably a couple of things. Like he always say, like, "What's better than like when we start winning? You know, what's better than 1-2? What's better than 2 in a row? 3 in a row? Like it goes on and on." But then, you know, like, during the dog days, like training camp, he'll say like, "Yo, if you guys do things right, you know, I'll toss you guys a bone, and you'll think like the bone is gonna be like a day off or something like that, and it'd be like you guys get out of meetings 10 minutes early, right. something like we thought it was gonna be way more than what it was."
Yeah. So you're here, Danny's here, you got Mitch Unrein, Aaron Brewer. So this is like Broncos Midwest right now that he's
created
cool, a little bit.
They make it a lot more comfortable for me to make the transition, man. So that's cool, man. It's always good to see some familiar faces.
All right. Last year, who could throw a ball farther, you or Peyton Manning?
Peyton, man, I'm no quarterback, man.
I had to ask. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite football? I know you talk about the pick six at SC, but do you have a favorite football memory? Just like your whole football career, even back to like Pop Warner.
Winning the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah,
nothing tops that, man. I mean, that's obviously why we all play the game. We're all here working hard to host that Lombardi Trophy at the end of the year, man. Watch that confetti fall down, man. So. Even though I wasn't playing, man, that moment was priceless.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're new to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Have you done any Chicago-type things yet? Are there things that you're looking forward to doing at some point this summer?
No, I'm just trying to get acclimated, man. You know, however I can, man, I'm a pretty social guy, and I'm very outgoing. So, you know, I've been out in the city quite a bit, and you know, I've explored a little bit. I've been to the John Hancock Building, seen some good views of the city. Went down to Lake Michigan, Michigan, man, and I've explored a little bit, you know, and I'm going to continue to do it.
We got to get you some Bears fans knowing you on Twitter,
yeah,
right? So they follow you at
Omar Bolden. I think it's Omar.Bolden.
Okay,
actually, I'm not sure.
And they could just look up the hashtag Positive Living.
Absolutely, and they'll find it. They'll find it, yeah, man. That'll be great.
All right, let's wrap up with a few rapid fire here.
Okay.
Favorite food.
Ooh, chicken enchiladas.
Okay. One thing you need to have with you when you're traveling on the road for a road game.
Floss.
How often do you floss?
Every day.
I went to a dentist yesterday, and they could tell that I don't floss every day.
Oh, yeah, man.
I had been flossing every day for like 2 weeks leading up to it, and they kind of caught me that...
Yeah, you know what makes it easy, man? You just keep the floss sticks, man.
Yeah, that's
keep
true.
The floss sticks on you. Maybe I've never flossed with real floss, so I just use the floss sticks.
That's right. You should get a sponsorship out of that. That's what you should go do.
Sure, man. Tell them to holler at me, man. Plackers, come holler at me.
What is your music you got to listen to before you get on the field?
Ooh. anything by Drizzy Drake.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's been having a pretty good week this week.
What's going on? Pretty good.
He's been having good everything.
Having a good decade.
Yeah. Is there? Are you a video game guy?
No, I don't play video games. Yeah.
What was your favorite sport outside football?
Track and field.
What were you? What was your sprinter?
Every sprint, 100, 200, 400.
Who's the fastest guy in the Bears?
I do not know. I don't even know.
You can make a run for it?
I would have to say I'm in the top five.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Omar Bolden, new Bear. Go follow him on Twitter. Go be, and we'll all just be positive living while you're here.
Man, just embrace me, man. I'm going to embrace you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks again to Omar Bolden for that interview. Fun guy to have around. Hashtag positive living. I'm looking at my computer. He literally just tweeted hashtag positive living to the max at Omar Bolden. Before we recap that interview, got to talk about our sponsor, Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. Get $3 off your first crate. There's a $45 value in every box. These are perfect for those of you who, you know, kind of geeks, nerds, comic book lovers out there, pop culture aficionados. We talked a couple weeks ago about Civil War, Dragon Ball Z, Marvel's Avengers, all those different things, Warcraft, and you get the crate, you get a t-shirt, you get kind of kitchen supplies, other things that you might want or need in your life for those of you that are really into that stuff. So again, lootcrate.com/Shaw, S-H-A-W. Use that promo code to get $3 off your first crate. John Sally, you are now an Omar Bolden fan, or are you going to start flossing a little bit more? Has he inspired you?
Well, I do floss. But,
okay, well, that's good.
Man, I'm in the mood for some chicken enchiladas.
You don't hear that was a bit of a unique one for favorite food.
Yeah,
and hopefully good. Folks are okay that we're going to do – when I want to do these rapid fire, I'm going to do mostly same questions with guys because I think it allows them to kind of open up and let us know what they want to eat because really that's – I was – by the way, fun fact, bring you inside. I was super hungry during this interview.
I mean, in reality, this is a food podcast. It's just designed as a
Bears. It's a food podcast, yeah. Video game podcast, and a dental floss podcast. But, you know, Omar Bolden went through a lot of injuries, as he mentioned last year. And, you know, amazing that he said his favorite football memory was winning Super Bowl because he didn't get to play in Super Bowl last year.
That struck me.
So that was interesting. But obviously, he really enjoyed the week, appreciated the week, and appreciated being a part. You know, he was obviously still a member of that team, still contributed. That return against the Colts was huge in that game. You know, earlier. So you know, he is in this battle now. Let's kind of break down where Omar Bolden is in the step chart. So he's someone that was brought in for special teams. That's the number one reason he was brought in, whether it be kick coverage or return game. This guy's been a kickoff returner in the league. He's a sprinter in college, played corner in college. That return competition is going to be really fun to watch. You know, remember, this is a team for years there was no return competition. You had the greatest two have ever done it in Devin Hester. And since then, they've had such issues trying to find anybody who can do it. I mean, the first year after Hester, they went through 7-8 kickoff returners that year. Remember Chris Williams, really small guy from Canada?
I do remember.
He ended up having a return touchdown, I believe, against Green Bay.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of hype around him. So you got Mark Mariani, friend of the program, obviously going to be involved. Deontay Thompson, who really lit it up at the end of the season in kickoff returns. Eddie Royal is going to be involved in punt returns. Daniel Braverman, the seventh-round pick out of Western Michigan, look for him to be right in the competition. I mentioned Kieran Duncan, the undrafted rookie tryout player who made the team, and then Omar Bolden. He's right in the thick there of to be the kickoff returner, to be involved in special teams. And then it's safety. So you have Adrian Amos back, and then there's a lot of question marks.
And let's not put Amos in ink yet either, too.
No, you know,
he was a guy who started 16 games, but he wasn't a guy that wowed you for 16 games.
No, and they're putting pressure on him to make more plays in the ball this year. It's something he's got to do. But I'm pretty confident they want him to be one of the starters at this point. Deion Bush is a hard hitter, the fourth-round pick from Miami. We talked to Matt Schodel from canesport.com, a podcast a few weeks ago about Bush. I think he compliments him well. Chris Brzezinski's back, another special teamer. Harold Jones-Corte is someone to watch.
They liked him for a bit last year.
And then he came back at the end of the season, made some big plays against Tampa. And that's – they need turnovers. You got to get guys that are going to go take the ball away. And he made some plays in the ball. And then Omar Bolden's right in there along with sixth-round pick –
friend of the program, DeAndre Houston Carson, who was out with us last week. So Bolden, with his special teams, with his return ability, familiarity with both John Fox and Jeff Rogers, I think he's got a good chance to make the team and at least give them some nice depth at safety and then factor in on special teams somehow.
And I think this is what you have to like about what Ryan Pace has done in the secondary, and I think you could throw John Fox in there too, is that they're creating competition. It's not – I feel like when it was, you know, Lovey, it was – these are the guys at safety, and this is who we're going with. And there was no real competition created, and guys sort of had their spots. And now you got guys who are going to be fighting for their spots day in and day out. And I think that definitely increases the quality of guys in there. And like you said, the depth is definitely going to be better.
And special teams is one of those spots that they were so bad early on last year in special teams. You know, you think about the Arizona kickoff return touchdown, Seattle giving up the trick return, the Dave Toth play against them. They had some struggles there, but they bring back these guys. They sign Bolden, the long snapper Aaron Brewer from Denver. So all these different things to really shore up the third phase. Let's go to our next interview. So each week, each OTA, we get time with a rookie, we get time with a veteran. So Omar Bolden was the veteran I talked to this week for the podcast. And the rookie, Ben Browniker, tight end, undrafted guy, Harvard. And I tried to set a record for how many dumb Harvard jokes I can make in this interview.
Oh, I'm excited now.
With Ben Browniker. So hope you enjoy. Ben, you've done two OTAs, practices now with the full team. What's the speed been like, kind of getting used to the speed of the game?
Oh, it's definitely been next level. Transitioning from D1 AA Ivy League football, which is, we ran a no huddle up-tempo offense there, so it was pretty fast. But just the speed of everybody and the quality of athletes out here has definitely been a big adjustment for me. But I think I'm finding my stride as of late.
Learn anything yet from Zach Miller, who's kind of the leader of the group?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Zach's got my back, definitely. I'm sure one time he was in my shoes, maybe. So he knows that it can be a little bit difficult stepping into the NFL for the first time and getting a new offense piled on top of you and being expected to produce.
Did you catch a pass from Jay yet?
Yeah.
How'd it feel?
He's got a great arm.
But more importantly, have you dropped a pass from Jay yet?
No.
Got to be careful.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you know this, Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard.
Oh, yeah.
Did
of course
you know
I know
that?
That, yeah.
So, every time Ryan Fitzpatrick does anything, it gets mentioned they went to Harvard.
Oh, yeah.
Are you prepared that anytime you do anything,
Harvard? I mean, it's not bad to be known as the smart guy in the room or on the field. And you know, stepping into a new offense where you have to learn all this stuff, and you get no slack if you're from Harvard and you have an MA or anything like that, because it's a knock on your university if you do.
Right.
So, and it's been a challenge, but I like it.
Yeah. And Josh Lucas went to Harvard Bears. And so I'm thinking, you guys both have a mutual hatred of Yale, right? So if you went to Yale, there's no chance you'd be on this team.
Probably right? not. I think you're right.
Okay. What's the worst thing about Yale?
How they want to be Harvard, but can't.
Makes sense. So you talked to us last week about wanting to get involved in infectious diseases and going to medical school down the line. Has anybody ever joked that you might be too smart to play football?
You know, I get that. I get that sometimes, but I think that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. What's harder, though, understanding an NFL playbook or reading some of the stuff you had to read in Harvard in some of your molecular biology classes?
That's an interesting question.
Very different
spectrums. I think the reading infectious disease stuff at Harvard is a little bit more relaxed.
Okay.
Here you got to be mentally tough, because next day, I mean, you get a packet that's an inch thick, said, learn this tonight, and then next day you got to do it full speed against pros. You didn't see anything like that again.
And you don't
Harvard.
Get hit in class, usually.
Right, yeah.
So you don't have to worry
about
that.
Yeah, so if you mess up in class, I mean, you just get the question wrong and move on. Here, you get smacked.
Right. So you're from, Fernand, Indiana?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I never heard of that.
Oh, I don't think very many people have.
Look it up on a map.
Yeah.
So what's it like in Fernand, Indiana?
Well, it's a small basketball town.
Okay.
Indiana. Everybody's pretty much German, like me, fully German. And it's a pretty tight-knit, blue-collar community. Really close to Santa Claus, where Jay's from.
Oh, okay.
So we have that southern Indiana connection.
Have you talked to him about that yet? Though?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. So what was it like then, a little culture shock then, going from there to Boston?
Oh, yeah. For sure. It took me like a month to adjust. But after I did that, it was fine. I enjoyed it. Probably maybe more.
I don't know how many things you've gotten to do in Chicago yet, but is there anything on your list, things you're kind of excited about being in the city?
Oh, yeah. I mean, walking through Millennium Park, Field Museum, Shedd Aquarium, the planetarium out there.
This sounds like my fifth grade field trips. But, well, they're great things to do.
I love it, yeah.
Did you have a favorite
obviously,
one of those?
Probably the museum.
Yeah.
It's just I'm used to being around a lot of knowledge and seeing it, and so I think it's cool to go out there and exercise your brain a little bit. Try
right.
to remember some stuff.
Let's do some rapid fire here.
Okay.
Favorite food?
A sushi.
Sushi. Favorite movie?
Oh, man. I'm not going to be too rapid on this.
No timer, so you're fine.
I mean, there are a bunch of good ones. My legs have the blood supply right now, so I can't really think of my full list.
We'll skip
okay.
to the next one.
Okay.
What sport are you best at other than football?
Other than football? It's track and field.
Track and field. What'd you do there?
Thrower.
Okay.
Thrower and a jumper. I was best at throwing, though. I got a few records. You can look those up.
I might have to go check that out. Video game guy?
Oh, yes.
What's your game of choice?
As of late, it's been Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Okay, more important, then. Who's your character?
Like Marth.
Okay.
But I think Fox is the easiest to be good with.
Okay. Now, my last kind of question here. As you become good friends with Jay, you're going to have to tell him, you don't have to do this, I don't want you to get in trouble, that this, you say, I was on this podcast once with a guy named Kevin, and it was really fun, so if he ever asks you,
okay.
That's the ultimate goal of our
okay,
podcast.
Right.
We got the Harvard guy on, next step is
you
Dan want Jay.
Me to, okay.
You don't have to do that, though. I'll ask some of the veterans to do
that's
that.
That's funny, yeah.
But if he ever asks
they'd
you,
have a lot more pull.
I don't think he'd ever ask about me, but just in case.
Okay.
All right, Ben Browniker. Browniker?
Browniker.
Browniker. Okay, Browniker. I'm big on pronunciation. Make sure
I
get it right.
Browniker.
Undrafted rookie, tight end here from Harvard. And I guess I'll wrap up with this. You did pretty well at the combine.
Yeah, I got a lot of publicity from that.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
I don't know if it helped my draft stock.
probably helped get you here.
Yeah. I mean, I showed that I was athletic, so that was the main goal.
There you go. All right, we'll look forward to seeing you more on the field.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
I think I made him a little nervous there, John, with the Cutler comment. He's like, oh, no, do I
have to talk to Jay.
Do I have to actually ask Jay this question? Because let's be honest, even if Mark Mirani, who's a good friend of Jay's, tells him about the podcast, I think we're all pretty confident we know what Jay's response is going to be.
Yeah, I think we know.
So, but I made it clear he didn't have to do that. I was kind of joking him. But funny guy, you know, he's got it's interesting. I mean, he comes from a tiny town in southern Indiana and is able to go to Harvard where he studied infectious diseases, wants to go to med school down the line, and here he is, you know, fighting for a spot on the Bears.
Harvard-Yale trash talk will never get old to me.
Oh, it's great.
It's the funniest thing to me ever.
The interesting thing, too, about him, as I mentioned at the Whale End, he was really a standout at the combine. His athleticism off the charts. And he said, though, he kind of joked, made fun of himself, it didn't help his draft stock. He wasn't drafted. And he told us last week that day he had an ESPN camera with him while he was watching the draft and how brutal that was. And he thinks about that. I will say this. There are some particular salary stuff. Everybody wants to be drafted. But if you're an undrafted guy that makes a team, you actually might sometimes have an advantage to a seventh rounder makes a team, the way the contracts are kind of formatted. But you still got to make the team. And the draft pick is always going to have a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'd almost rather be an undrafted free agent than a seventh round pick, because you do get a little bit more say in where you end up.
And a little less, you have the less pressure when you get there.
Right, right.
And I could go on a whole soapbox about the whole idea of this. We have a draft in this capitalistic society.
Right.
Someone like Corey Coleman's forced to go play for the Browns.
Poor Corey Coleman.
4-year contract. He's got to go. Anyways. So let's talk tight end. The position battle there. We know Zach Miller, friend of the program. He's going to be the starting tight end. And he looked pretty darn good at the OTA. I'm allowed to say that, I think. By the way, if this podcast next week, if my credential gets revoked, I won't have a whole lot to say on the podcast
next week. With Zach Miller, he could just say that, you know, his looks were looking – like his hair was looking good.
Hair looked great. Got great hair.
You don't have to say it. You don't have to say that it's relevant to his field performance.
The battle behind him, Rob Housler is probably the closest in terms of being able to catch passes and run routes to Zach Miller. He's got great size. Looks like a power forward out there. Kari Lee played a lot last year, played in all 16 games. The Bears traded a draft pick for him, which really surprised a lot of people. And they like him. And they want him to be involved as kind of the H-back role, as that number two blocking guy. I would give him an edge to make the roster, not necessarily to be the next guy to get targets after Zach Miller. Look, we all hope Zach Miller's got a full 16-game season. But you got to have somebody else around. And that's where Brownaker comes in, because he was productive at Harvard, catch a lot of passes. He's got the speed, not as tall as Zach Miller. But, you know, for these guys, it's kind of now, you know, getting that rapport down with Jay Cutler. An interesting member of the tight ends room, Greg Scruggs, who's listed at 310 pounds.
That's a big tight end.
He's not 310 pounds, but he was, because last year he was a defensive lineman. And they've switched his position to tight end this summer.
You don't often see position changes at the NFL level.
No.
I mean,
and certainly
high school
from
all the time, college, that happens a lot, especially like between freshman and sophomore years. But you don't see that at the NFL level.
And sometimes you see like an offensive guard, a defensive tackle, if anything.
Yeah.
But to go to tight end.
They're going to ask you to catch the ball a little bit.
Maybe we'll get him on the podcast. It's just kind of cool to see, you know, long shot to make the team, but a cool little thing. Gannon Sinclair spent the whole year on the practice squad last year. Big dude. A lot of good size with him. And then Joe Summers is another undrafted rookie. So this is a thin position. I mean, outside Zach Miller, you don't have a ton of guys with NFL experience. Rob Housler played in the league for a few years. They got to find the number two guy. Now, I don't want to focus too much on someone who's only going to be on the field 15 to 20% of the time, but when you consider Zach Miller's injury history and you consider, you know, how much the team's going to run the football, this is still an important spot that someone's going to be able to fill.
Given all that, how many tight ends do you think the Bears keep then? I know this, like, we're at the end of May. This is a couple-month process, but
I see three. I mean, right now it would be Miller, Lee, and Housler. Those would be the three. I think Brownaker can make a push to be the third guy over Housler. As I said, I really do think Lee's understanding of the offense and the role he plays gives him a little bit of an edge. Brownaker also a prototypical guy for the practice squad, because remember, playing in the Ivy League, there's going to be that learning curve to get used to the NFL, and you can take some time on the practice squad to do that. And I would imagine they would keep a tight end on the practice squad. So that's kind of a position to watch. So hopefully everybody enjoyed that interview there with Ben Brownaker, Harvard guy. It's always just funny to me, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, like, you can't go anywhere without talking about the guy.
Hey, did you know he went to Harvard?
He went to Harvard. So, and Ben Brown, I don't know if he got the joke immediately when I opened the interview with, so did you know that he went to Harvard? He's like, yeah, good quarterback. I'm like, yeah, everybody knows he went to Harvard. So next week, we'll have hopefully, if, you know, I got lucky with these guys that they were available and able to talk to me one-on-one for the podcast. I'm going to try for it again.
Jay, if you're out there, you know.
Jay's not talking to us till June, and that'll be in the group setting. So I don't even want to talk about this hypothetical. It's never going to happen. It would be in Bourbonnais. If it ever happened, it would be in Bourbonnais.
Dream big.
So, but Omar Bolden, Ben Brownaker, they are teetering now in Friends of the Program. Go follow them on Twitter, especially Omar Bolden, very active on there, hashtag positive living. We learned that from him. We also learned the importance of flossing, which, John, I guess you already knew.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't.
No, I've been much better the past couple years.
You were cheating before you went to the dentist.
I was a little – yeah. You know what's lucky? I thought I had a dentist appointment, and so I spent that week flossing, and I went in, and they're like, you're not in until next week.
So you actually walked into the dentist office? You're like, I'm ready. I'm pumped.
I said, here I am for my appointment, and they said,
like, what are you doing
next Tuesday? And so I got an extra week of flossing. Don't worry, my teeth are healthy, no cavities. So
congratulations.
There's some good things that came out of that. Go check out all of our stuff from the OTA. As I mentioned, we got a column from Hub on the inside linebackers. I got a story on Jarrell Freeman. We didn't talk about this on the podcast. We will maybe next week. Alshon Jeffery, not there. And we do have a video going a little bit more in-depth about that situation. So we'll have more about the next Bears OTA that's open to the media. Hopefully some more Bears guests. Go check out all of our stuff, profootballweekly.com/Bears. At Bears_Insider, I am at K Fishbane. Thank you to our guests, Omar Bolden, Ben Brownaker. Thank you, by the way, to Umphreys McGee. I don't give them a shout-out enough for our theme song for Chicago Football Podcast. A couple other Shaw Media podcasts. We got a Pro Football Weekly, Way We Hear It, breaking down quarterbacks. We got another one breaking down skill positions around the league. Unprintable, for those of you around the McHenry County area, some cool podcast there breaking down some of the things going on this summer in McHenry County. Thank you to my executive producer, Dan Mott, my associate producer, John Sally. I'm Kevin Fishbane, wishing everyone a fun and safe Memorial Day weekend. More Bears talk next week.